Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
If you are hearing, listen. Don't just hear and let it roll off, but contemplate this, process it. Jesus' statement suggests that it takes more than just physically hearing something to actually hear it. And it takes more than just having ears to hear the voice of God. It requires a receptive heart. See, in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 through 8, we read, "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness."
All throughout the Gospels, we read about how Jesus would tell His disciples and everyone He ministered to focus intently on what He was saying. He would preface many of His sermons by saying, "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear." Today, Pastor Troy will be explaining how we need to have receptive hearts in order to deeply hear and understand what God is speaking to us. Just because we hear what someone is saying doesn't necessarily mean that we comprehend it. Now, here's Pastor Troy with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock in Hebrews chapter 1.
Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. We're finally going to start getting into Hebrews. Webster's defines revelation as an act of making something known. Also, it says it's an act of revealing or communicating divine truth, revelation. So when we look at the book of Revelation, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ, not a revelation from Jesus necessarily, although it's that too. It's the revealing of Him, who He is, the plan of the ages. It reveals Him. There's a difference. Revelation comes and we are to receive it, to perceive it from the Lord. So we're to hear it, to listen, and to acknowledge. There's a difference in hearing something and listening to something. It's a big difference. See, you can hear sounds and not process them. Moms and dads do it all the time. Mom, 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 mom. And you hear the noise, but you hear it so often, you don't really tune into it until it's something out of the ordinary, like a crash, bang, you know, mom, those kind of things. So we are able to have something coming in, coming at us, and when it does, we're actually able to turn it off as if we don't hear it. We hear it, we just don't acknowledge it, we're not listening. Listening is active. It means you're listening for content. It's this process that you take information that you hear and you take it in and you process it. It's active so that you hear it and you act on it or you respond to it. Jesus often said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And the idea is that if you are hearing, listen. Don't just hear and let it roll off, but contemplate this. Process it. Jesus' statement suggests that it takes more than just physically hearing something to actually hear it. And it takes more than just having ears to hear the voice of God. It requires a receptive heart. See, in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 through 8, we read, "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness." So it's as if to hear God, it requires more than just being able to hear and see the signs. We'll talk about that too. But it requires that there be a willingness, that if your will is not in the right place, you will not be able to hear the Lord. Our hearing is attached to our will. Some people can hear things and it makes absolutely no sense because it doesn't line up with the way they view things. You know, love your enemies. I saw a debate between a Muslim and a Christian, and he knocked on that whole verse. That makes no sense. Absolutely no sense. Because he's hearing it from his will, what he understands. But it really makes sense. Love, do you understand that? Okay. Your enemy, do you understand that? So it makes sense. Just do it. And the scriptures define what that means. But he says it doesn't make sense, and we often say, I don't receive that. I don't understand that, because our will is set in a certain way. We hear the voice of God and we go, that doesn't fit. And so we do need a willingness to hear from the Lord, or we won't. Today we'll talk about the fact that God speaks. We'll consider how he has spoken, how he speaks today, and how we should listen. We begin in verse 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. So, God spoke in time past. God is an intelligent being. He speaks so that his creation can hear. He does communicate. And in the past, he spoke in various ways at various times. Some examples. God spoke to Adam in the garden. Before the fall, he was able to just speak with them. God spoke to Moses in the burning bush. This is holy ground. Take off your shoes. And he spoke to him in that burning bush. God used angels when he wanted to bring Lot and his family out of Sodom so that he could judge it. He sent angels to communicate a message. Get out. Let's go. Hurry up. Don't look back. He communicated to Joseph, unfolding some future vision in Joseph's heart, maybe to give him hope. His brothers didn't appreciate it all that much, but God spoke to him through vision and through dream. Then for a long period of time, God spoke through the prophets, to the kings and to the people. He used prophets, men called by God to take the voice of God, the word of God, the warning of God to the people in charge. Jeremiah, one of the prophets, came and he broke a pot and he explained that this is what God is going to do to you, Israel, because they weren't turning from their sin. They weren't trusting in the Lord. Ezekiel was told to play army. So he built a little encampment and dives and throws grenades. You know, he does all the stuff that you do in war. He's just playing games. And the message was, God is going to lay siege to Jerusalem. This isn't just fun and games. I'm acting out what God's about to do. Hosea was told to marry a harlot who would not even be faithful to him, and to love her and to reach out to her and to bring her back to himself. And he would even pay for her one time to be released from situations she'd gotten herself into. Now, I remember when I was trying to seek the voice of the Lord one time, I was getting on a plane, I was traveling maybe to visit family. But I remember, I want to hear your voice. And so a young Christian, I'm turning, and Hosea, the book of Hosea, I've never read that one. Let me do that. And I start reading, go marry a harlot. You know, like, and I'm a single guy at this time. I'm like, oh, Lord, I don't want to go marry a harlot. Is that what you're saying to me? But this is where context and understanding the scriptures is so important, because some will take that and go, God told me to marry a harlot. I read it right in the scriptures. No, you need to read the whole Bible before you're ready to make those determinations, because God says, what, two have an agreement. This was God speaking specifically to a prophet of his. We're going to act this out. We're going to live this out. And it's going to be a message to my people. So we can get some strange interpretations when we don't know the whole of the scriptures, because something was there. Oh, God told Hosea, so God is telling me. We've got to be very, very careful. God does speak today. He spoke then through the prophets during that season. There was no telling when the Lord was going to say something. And when it came, when he was going to speak, you had to be willing to receive it, which was not the case very often, especially in the north. There was the time in 1 Kings 22 when Jehoshaphat, the king in the south over Judah, was up visiting King Ahab in the north. And King Ahab was contemplating whether he should go to war or not, to go up and fight Ramoth Gilead. So he called together the 400 prophets of Baal. And he sought them, should we go to war against them? And they said, go for it, king, because a false prophet is always going to lift up the king. And so, go for it, king, go for it. Well, Jehoshaphat from the south goes, Ahab, isn't there a prophet of the Lord we can inquire of? And Ahab's words were, yes, there is. But when he says something, he never has anything nice to say about me. He just wasn't willing to hear the voice of God. They finally do call. His name was Micaiah, and Micaiah kind of plays the game, goes, yeah, go on to war, go on. God will give you victory. And he goes, see, he's always mocking me. And Micaiah got serious, said, yeah, God's going to judge you. We have to be willing to hear what God wants to say if we're going to be able to hear. To keep the central focus of his unfolding plan, lest we forget it, you know, the plan of a redeemer, who this is all about, Jesus. God, through the prophets, would, and himself would speak even to the kings, giving promises, reminders of this promised redeemer. To David, we just went over this on our Wednesday study a couple of weeks ago, where he was promised that the Messiah would come and be a descendant of his. It was an amazing promise. It'd come from his loins. It gave Israel someone to look for. So, okay, this one who's to come, now we know he's going to be a descendant of David's. Through Isaiah 9, 6 through 7, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
Stay tuned to hear more from today's teaching on Building on the Solid Rock. Pastor Troy Neely has been sharing insights from God's Word with us. He'll have much more to share in the next part of this message. We are so glad you've tuned in today. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged by what you've heard. If you've been touched by this program, or if you have any questions about Building on the Solid Rock, we'd love to hear from you. Send an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can also find out more about this program by visiting buildingonthesolidrock.com. Listen to previous teachings as well, and even subscribe to our podcast. Now, here's Pastor Troy with more of today's message. Building on the solid
ground. So God has been speaking, and he's not failed to continue that the theme of this whole scripture, of his whole plan, is that there is a redeemer coming. In Daniel chapter 9, he gave a timeline of when that Redeemer would show up and that he would be cut off, not for himself, but for a covenant. And the promise was said that from this many days after the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem, and we did that on our Palm Sunday message, we kind of revisit that whole timeline, which led to that Palm Sunday entrance. So in the Old Testament, we see God is speaking to men, reminding them of his plan, guiding them in his plan, revealing more of himself to them through the tabernacle and the offerings and the sacrifices and his leading them. But how does he speak now? Because he's not speaking the same way. He's not sending prophets. We don't go to a tabernacle or a temple. These are some of the many ways God spoke in the past, but what about today? And the author of Hebrews tells us how God speaks today. Verse 2, in these last days spoken to us by his Son, Jesus. The idea is that Jesus is the final and full, complete, finished revelation of God. In Christ, we hear his voice. We hear the voice of God. But more than that, we see the character and nature of God in Christ. Jesus is God, approachable. It's not that Jesus brought us a message like the prophets of old. Jesus is the message from the Father. He is the message. He is the Word of God. Jesus is not just another prophet. He can't be. He's God himself. In Christ, we not only get the message the Father intended, but we get the personality of the Father. So the author of Hebrews expands on this idea. Jesus is not just a prophet. He's better. He's definitely better than angels, which we'll start talking about next week. And so he says in verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory, speaking of the Son, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. You see where the author is going with this concerning who Jesus is, why he is superior, why he is greater? In verse 2, Jesus is called the heir of all things. He's an heir of all things because he is the Son of God. He is the firstborn. It's his status of the preeminent, priority. The scriptures teach us that it was Jesus who was raised first. He had to be raised first. The Old Testament saints couldn't be raised. They went to that holding place. Not able to be raised yet, or they'd be the firstborn. And so Jesus died and was buried and rose again, being the firstborn, so that now that Jesus has raised, we no longer have to go and wait. We go directly, as Paul said, to be with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so we go to be with him right away, not in a resurrected body. Our body is still here. We have the funeral service and everything else, and we bury it, or some cremated. Some are lost at sea. The body is disposed of or lost in many ways here, but it will be raised. Right now, we, who we are inside, our spirit, we go to be with the Lord right away. There is no soul sleep. We go to be with the Lord. There's no ceasing to exist. We go to be with the Lord. So that's his being the heir of all things. It also, in verse 2, refers to him making the worlds, that Jesus had his hand in making the worlds. And the idea there is that he is also eternal, not temporal. And then when it comes to creation, he's not a created being, he's creator. The big difference from prophets and even angels. Making the world refers to his eternal state, being in the beginning, having all authority. In verse 3, it calls him the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. In other words, Jesus is God in a body. John chapter 4, verse 24 says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. So God is a spirit. He has no body. He's manifests himself in many ways, in fire, in thunderings. But he's not in a body where we can go, hi, how are you? We love you. Can you talk to us? But he did that in Jesus. He came as the Son, never ceasing to be the Father, because the Father and the Son are not the same. But God packaged himself, born of the Holy Spirit, in human flesh, and became a man so that we could know him, so that Jesus would die for our sin. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 18 say this. Remember, God is spirit. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. So Jesus is the ultimate revelation of God. There have been words, there have been vision, there have been plans unfolded that are the revelation of God. But Jesus is the ultimate revelation of God because through him, we know God. We know him. Jesus is God approachable. In Jesus, think about this. In Jesus, as a 12-year-old boy, I mean, how intimidating is that? Obviously not too intimidating. As a 12-year-old boy, men, for the first time ever, were able to ask God questions and even, check this out, debate with God. Now, his wisdom outdid them all. They were amazed. But God was approachable. God could be heard from by any common man. Jesus is God approachable. We have access to him. And that's the message in the Son. So now God speaks through the Son. God now speaks through the Son. How? One, in his life. Anyone who sees me has seen the Father, Jesus said. I and the Father are one. If you have seen me, you've seen the Father. Show us the Father, they said. If you've seen me, you've seen him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. There is no life, no real life, apart from me. So in his life, God speaks. Also in his words, Jesus told his disciples, what I have told you guys now in secret, not that it was a secret meeting, but they were his disciples. They were close to him. He says, what I have told you guys shout from the rooftops. You guys proclaim this. This isn't secret. This is to be known by all. This is not some weird, strange thing. I just want a select few to hear because I am a cult leader. And it would be strange for their ears to hear. He says, proclaim it because this is truth. And Jesus said about his words, I didn't come to judge, but he who hears my words go out. And if he does not obey my words, if he does not receive my words judge him. What I have said will judge him in the end. So God speaks through his words, but also in Jesus' presence. God still speaks with Jesus' presence in our life. Jesus is still making personal appearances. Did you know that? It's amazing. Prophets aren't coming. Angels aren't showing up. We'll talk about those things next week when we get into some of the angel stuff. But what's going on right now, where all cameras are focused in Syria and Iran, all that area, they're claiming that they are hearing from Jesus, that Jesus is showing up. Now, it makes sense because after Jesus rose, Jesus began to kind of take over for the prophets and everything else because Paul the apostle was on this tirade to go kill and persecute Christians, and Jesus made his own appearance. And it seems that Jesus is appearing to communicate with people today, in that Middle Eastern area. There was a story of an imam, a Shiite imam, who was converted. And this Shiite imam was noticing that they would praise God and go kill some of the Sunnis who also worship Allah. And they would get revenge and kill their people and praise the same God, Allah. Praise Allah, praise Allah. Praise. So he thought, we're both praising him. We're killing each other. He says, this makes no sense to me. And he said, I was just tired of the death. I was tired of it all.
The book of Hebrews reminds us that only one person should hold the top spot in our lives, God. Our Creator has made all that we see and all that we are, and nothing we have done can change it. In Pastor Troy's verse-by-verse study through this New Testament book, we've learned how important it is to keep our focus solely on the Maker of heaven and earth. We're so glad you joined us today for another edition of Building on the Solid Rock. If you'd like to hear more teachings from this series in Hebrews, visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can also subscribe to our podcast to have the latest messages from Pastor Troy as soon as they're available. You'll find a link on our website, or you can subscribe in iTunes. If you've been encouraged by today's message, we'd love to hear from you. Feel free to send an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com and be sure to let us know how we can be praying for you. Thanks for listening today to Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in